We're back in the studio here for the last hour of our AACM feature. Donovan Boxey joining me tonight. And also, before we kick into the last hour, I want to make mention a week from tonight on Destination Out, I have a guest coming in, John LaTrenta, who's been on the program multiple times before. And we're going to be featuring third stream oriented jazz or chamber jazz type pieces. And John's been working on a lot of ideas for quite a few months now. I've got pulled a few things aside too, so should be a fun night. So that's coming your way next week on Destination Out. And Donovan, let's get turned to some Henry Threadgill here. So
yeah, one of the reasons I love listening to Henry is because his sound on the alto is totally unique, and I don't think I've ever heard anyone else that sounds quite like him.
Yeah.
On that instrument. And I mean, he's also a great flute player as well, especially with alto flutes and bass flutes. And I mean, there's only a handful of multi-instrumentalists that are just as good on every instrument.
Like an Eric Dolphy.
Right, yeah, he reminds me of like an Eric Dolphy type thing, you know.
And he's also a great arranger and composer.
Yeah.
Very unique, yeah. I mean,
yeah, very great.
As time has moved along, I mean, just like Leo Smith and Roscoe, and, you know, he's carved out his own unique niche, Braxton, mm-hmm. of creative music. And that's very singular and recognizable mm-hmm. when you hear his stuff. You
know? Yeah.
I was introduced to him first through the band Air that we're going to check out here next. I saw them once. They were really great ensemble live. And, you know, just a trio, but very full, you know, kind of sound. Fred Hopkins on bass, an incredible bassist. And Steve McCall, one of the founding AACM members on mm-hmm. drums. And Steve McCall's a very, very unique drummer. Again, another kind of highly identifiable individual. And this comes from not their first recording, but maybe their third or fourth, called Airtime on the Nessa label from 77. Personally, this might be my favorite Air album. I really like this one a lot, mm-hmm. partly because it's really recorded well, which I, you know, thanks to Chuck Nessa. He's very meticulous about the way he recorded things, which I think is important in this whole idea of the AACM music. It got documented really well, and you know, it's no light thing when you have engineers that care as much about the music as the players, you know.
Yeah, and it's extremely important.
Yeah, and so the subtleties of the music were part of the music, and Delmark, which under the influence of Chuck, and then Nessa, his label, very meticulous recordings where you could really hear the delicate articulation of small instruments and things like that. And so, mm-hmm.
which was the sound.
Yeah, exactly. So it really drew me into that too. And I know, I think initially I just liked it, but I realized that it was because it really sounded good, you know. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so we're going to hear a track here written by Henry Threadgill called Keep Right on Playing Through the Mirror Over the Water from the band Air. This is listener-supported WCMU, a service of Central Michigan University.
That was the 2016 Pulitzer Prize-winning album in music from Henry Threadgill and his band Zooid, In for a Penny, In for a Pound, and we heard the opening of that piece. It's a double album. It's all one piece split up into six different movements, and a really cool instrumentation in that band, trombone and tuba, guitar, cello, along with Threadgill on saxophones and flutes, and then drums as well.
Yeah, and that little short bit that we heard there, most of the pieces are of segments are longer.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a pretty good representation of the feel of the whole record, really.
And one of the things I like about this record, each movement after that kind of features one of the instruments over the other. So it's kind of like how Duke Ellington used to write for the individual musicians in his band. I mean,
like a suite.
Henry,
doing different features.
Henry definitely did that on this album, and then people were able to recognize that and see that it was really great. You know?
Yeah. It's really cool that he got recognized for that album. It's a great album. I think one of the things that's nice is all these years later, sort of like Ornette Coleman got a Grammy Award before he died,
mm-hmm.
that some of these geniuses many, many years later have been, you know, recognized. I mean, Wadada Leo Smith also recognized for some of his achievements lately. Yeah.
He got a nomination for a Pulitzer Prize.
Right.
For,
so that's really great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then we opened that set up with Air, an older Henry Threadgill piece from 77, Keep Right On Playing Through the Mirror Over the Water. And you were going to talk a little bit about the notation.
Yeah, one of the things we haven't really touched on yet is like the innovations with different notation styles that the AACM used. I mean, Wadada Leo Smith created encrasmation. He calls them language scores, and it's a whole new language of music notation that he and then only a few people know how to read and interpret. I mean, you have to learn from him or from someone else that that has learned from Leo. So it's very complex, and I've been to a couple different showings where he has a lot of his encrasmation scores on display, and he will explain the process of reading them and interpreting them and then turning those symbols, the symbols into sound. So it's very interesting.
And they're kind of beautiful works of art.
Yeah, they really
themselves.
Are. Some, not all, but most, I guess, have color.
Yeah.
And different shapes. He has what he calls velocity units. It kind of looks like a triangle. But all those little symbols and every color, and he's very particular with what goes into each score, and it all means something, and
right.
it all
I went
contributes
to
the music.
Roscoe Mitchell workshops a couple times when I was younger, and he had a unique notation mm-hmm. system and things that he could use for all different levels of players, and he would have cards that you would shuffle and
mm-hmm.
You know, to with concepts on them and then explain different, you know, symbols that he was using and that kind of thing too. So
Anthony Braxton also took it to another level, and he names his pieces by using symbols and drawings. It's not just like In for a Penny, In for a Pound. It's this picture, this symbol, and that's the title of the piece.
Right, and some of them are almost comical when you look at them.
They
look like cartoons almost or something. And then usually with Braxton, he numbers them, so everybody just kind of calls it composition 103 or something.
103D.
So, but again, that's a whole nother, you know, dimension to this music, you know. And we didn't really elaborate on the theatrical side of it too, but that the visual with some of these bands, especially the art ensembles, quite spectacular. And you know, I know like the first time I saw Art Ensemble and Sun Ra before him, you know, that it was kind of overwhelming. I really didn't know what I was walking into, to be honest. And it was stunning at first, and then after I kind of got used to it, I mean, it was, I loved it, really, really great. You have something else you're pulling up there?
Yeah, I'd like to read a little section from a book that I picked up recently. Last month, I attended a creative music workshop studio, session in New York, put on by Carl and Ingrid Berger. And I picked up this book that's kind of a history of the creative music studio. And the creative music studio has a long-time partnership with the AACM, because in the late 70s, Anthony Braxton and Jack DeJohnette lived out in Woodstock, New York, where the creative music studio was happening. So there was a part in this book that talked about Joseph Drummond doing a workshop with some of the students, and that was one of the things that he challenged the students to do, was to just be really creative with a composition. He wanted everyone to come in the next day with a new thing, and it could be something like reciting a poem blindfolded while jumping up and down on one leg, and someone else would be playing Now's the Time or something like that, a Charlie Parker tune, and just coming up with different creative things mm-hmm. like that. So,
yeah, he originally, from what, and I can't tell you specific, different memories kind of blend together, but I remember Chuck Nessa saying that the first concerts, AACM stuff that he went to in the 60s in Chicago, the Jarmans were the most theatrical.
Mm-hmm.
That I remember him saying that Jarman did a performance where everybody in his band was all wrapped in tin foil. Was one of the first ones that he commented on, and I can't elaborate on it anymore. And I know there were some other mm-hmm. things there, but yeah, Jarman was very theatrical. When I saw Jarman doing solo and duet things in the 70s in Lansing and Ann Arbor, he was doing a real African-esque type thing with dance, and mm-hmm. Often had dancers that he would be dancing when he was playing, and was very, him and Malachi maybe were the two most unpredictable members of the band.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one concert I went to where he was playing at laying on his back most of the time, and mm-hmm. Things like that.
Yeah.
Very unique. Let's turn to Roscoe here.
Yeah, I picked out a track from the solo saxophone concert album originally released on Sackville. And we're going to hear a piece that was actually recorded in Kalamazoo, Michigan. It's titled Eel 2. Roscoe Mitchell on tenor. Thank you.
Thank you.
music from Fred Anderson there. This is listener-supported CMU Public Radio Service of Central Michigan University. Fred Anderson from the album Black Horn, Long Gone, a record that was recorded in 93, but didn't come out until, you know, maybe, I don't know, 10 years after that. It's on the Southport label. A really cool band of Fred on tenor, Malachi Favors on bass, tune's called Malachi's Tune, and Ajiramu A.J. Shelton on drums. A rare appearance of Ajiramu on drums, so cool in that sense.
Yep.
He was one of the early founding AACM members and played with Gene Ammons and all kinds of people before that.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of an obscure AACM member, but a really great, prominent player in the mix. Revolutionary Ensemble from the People's Republic. We heard a tune called Chinese Rock, written by the drummer Jerome Cooper, Leroy Jenkins violin, Cerrone bass, and that was from 1975. Opened with a tune that Donovan picked out, Eel 2, from Roscoe Mitchell's solo performance album on the Sackville label out of Toronto. That one was recorded in Kalamazoo, and a couple of my really good friends went to that concert. I didn't see that particular one. I saw him on this tour, but I think I have a poster yet that they gave me from that. But we didn't comment before that. But
the cover of that album was a photograph taken near or around Lansing,
right?
Lanesburg. Roscoe was living there at the time, and just a really iconic photo of Roscoe in front of a shed. He's got his dog there, and then all of his instruments, all of his woodwind instruments scattered out in front of him, you know.
Yeah, it's like a backyard shot, you know, real informal, but really a great portrait of him. And that was taken by Bill Smith, who we heard at the beginning of the program there from Coda Magazine. Okay.
Next up, we're going to hear from Kalaparusha, Maurice McIntyre. A great saxophonist to come out of the AACM who doesn't always get as much light, I guess, shed on him.
Yeah, from my understanding, is that he was kind of seen as one of the, like Mulhall, like leading figures. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, he had some, for a little while, some substance abuse problems that prevented him from being dependable, and it's unfortunate, but the stuff he recorded is great, really dynamic player.
We're going to hear from his very first album that dates back to 1969. Malachi Favors joins him on bass, Makaka Uba on bass, Thurman Barker on drums, and Ajiramu Shelton once again on the drums.
Yeah.
And Maurice Kalaparusha on saxophones. And
right.
We're going to hear the title track, Humility in the Light of Creator.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Music from Eight Bold Souls. It's a sort of a later AACM band from 91, led by tenor saxophonist Edward Wilkerson, who's really great, I think. He took the first solo on that tune called Dervish. That's on the Open Minds label. The second solo, Isaiah Jackson on trombone and Robert Griffin trumpet solo on that cut too. Some really great players. Mawada Bowden played clarinet on that cut. He was the president of the AACM in the 90s. Dushan Mosley on drums. Really great band. They put out about four or five records in that time period, and all real nice. Before that, we heard from...
Before that, it was Wadada Leo Smith's Golden Quintet, and the piece was titled Malik El Shabazz and the People of Shahada. And that appeared on the 10 Freedom Summers album, which is just a huge release. I mean, it's over 4.5 hours of music, and one of Wadada's. I think this is probably one of the projects he's the most proud of, you know. He worked on this for a really long time.
Yeah, it's really extensive. That was nice arco work there from John Lindbergh on bass there.
John Lindbergh on bass, Anthony Davis piano, Fronach Loff on drums, and also Susie Ibarra on drums, along with Wadada on trumpet.
Yeah, so. Great. And then we started off with a short track from Kalaprusha, Maurice McIntyre, Humility in the Light of the Creator, title track from that album. And brings us to just a few minutes before the hour. Really enjoyed this. Thanks.
Yeah, I did
for sending it. Yeah, it was really
cool. Thank
you, Mike. And good luck to you. And our paths will cross again, and maybe sit in another program some night down the road too.
That'd be great.
Yeah, cool. So, and Donovan Boxey sitting in with me, and his last night here on CMU Public Radio will be Wednesday night, doing Nightside.
Mm-hmm.
So. Again, thanks. It was fun, and we're going to wrap it up here with a Douglas Ewart, Bamboo Meditations at Banff. Really nice solo recording that he put out on his Arawak label, and this is a tune titled Tribute to the Native Americans. This is going to wind things down tonight. Thanks again.